following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Yesterday at Rick's funeral, for those of you that haven't heard yet, Rick Delwell went home to be with the Lord, and it was a really precious time together with friends and family yesterday, but the gospel was preached, and it was preached through the testimony of Rick's life. It was preached through people sharing who he was and just the way that he had encouraged them and his testimony of what the Lord had done in his life. And so we're just so grateful for the Holy Spirit moving through that time as well. Okay, so I love how Rick Keenan here, he says, I don't know how we wound up there. And it's awesome because here we are talking about the Holy Spirit, which is how they wound up there. And so this is a month that we're kind of focusing on the activity of the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I'm excited for that. There's something in me, there's an anticipation that has been stirring in what Holy Spirit wants to release as we take a fresh look at that. And so I would encourage us to be willing to take a fresh look at that, to sort of break out of the picture of who we think Holy Spirit is and what he does and what his activity is. One time a couple of weeks ago during prayer, as we were praying about just this time of pressing into the Holy Spirit, I saw a picture of like almost like a maze and water being channeled through these passages in the maze. And I felt like it was the Holy Spirit's activity being channeled through our perception of how the Holy Spirit moves. And I saw this picture of a big hand coming in and picking up all the walls of the maze so that the Holy Spirit just could fill the place and rather than be channeled. And so I just want to encourage us not to put up walls and channels for how we believe the Holy Spirit moves. That we have some ideas that we build, and as hard as we try to not create boundaries, you know, we're all about taking God out of the box, and yet kind of what we do is make a bigger box. And so I just want to encourage us to, as we're pursuing just understanding more and experiencing more of the Holy Spirit, that we would remove the channels that we've set in place for how Holy Spirit works. And just let something new be discovered in the process. So I'm excited. The other reason I'm excited is because I know that there's more that we're not accessing. I know that as much as we have been so blessed to see the work and the activity and the experience of the Holy Spirit, that there's more that we're not accessing. And it reminds me, we're moving soon, and so one of the things that we're doing in the move is we're going to get a new TV, because we've had the same TV for 4 or 5, yes, my husband's really happy about that. He doesn't care where we go as long as we get a new TV. Not really, that's not true, but So we've had the same TV for a long time, and I think actually when we bought that TV, it was the exact replacement for the TV we had before that, like the same model. And so it's probably been 10 years or so with this same TV. And anyway, we're going to shop for TVs, and I'm researching, and it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous how many different types of TVs you are, and I'm going, or that you can get. And I'm looking at all these features, and there's, some of you will speak this language, there's UHD, and there's OLED, and QLED, and all kinds of things, and 4K, and I have no idea. So I'm looking at all this, and I'm, you know, we're asking different people as we're shopping, about these different TVs, and they're describing to us the features, and, you know, they're showing us these TVs that, do you know that there's TVs that can, when you're not using it, can look like art on your wall? So you're not using the TV, and then you turn it to this feature, and it looks like a painting on your wall. So it sort of disguises the TV, okay? I'm not sure that it's worth it for that feature. I don't know. You know, then there's pure color technology. And then you can set it to different color settings depending on what you're watching or what your preference is. You like it a little more blue than, I don't know. You can change the settings. They can have Bluetooth. They can have slim bezel. Do you even know what a bezel is? It's just the frame. How big the frame is around. Okay, so we're looking at all these different voice control. There can be fast motion so that if you're watching somebody run across a football field, you don't miss even a millisecond of the motion of that, you know, whatever. And so they're showing us all these different models that have all these different features. And I'm saying it's not worth it to us to pay that price for that feature because we're not going to use it. And this is what I think of regarding the Holy Spirit, that a very high price was paid. And we're not using all the features. You know, a very high price was paid so that we could have access to the things of the Holy Spirit, and we're not using all the features. We don't always step into all that's available to us. We don't always lean into everything that we have access to. And that's what I want us to go after in this season, that we would realize all of the features that we have access to, all of the things. And I don't mean to downgrade the work of the Holy Spirit to TV features. Do you understand where I'm headed? But that there are things we have access to, even those of us that have a long time experience with Holy Spirit, that we don't access everything that he has made available to us through what Jesus did. And so whether or not the concept of Holy Spirit, the work of Holy Spirit in your life is familiar or foreign to you, this is what I want us to do in these weeks to come. I want us to go after more fullness of what that looks like. What does it look like to walk with the Holy Spirit? What's available to me that I'm not accessing? What is the role of the Holy Spirit in my life? What is the relationship with Holy Spirit look like? Whether this is a familiar concept or foreign and it's new to you, let's go after that fullness together. So I want to pray. This morning in prayer, I saw a picture. I'm going to pray in a minute. Sorry. You all were getting ready. Then I started talking. Sorry. I hate it when pastors do that. Thought we were talking to God. Stop talking. Okay. When we were praying this morning in the prayer room, I saw this picture of like the word of the Lord being on a kite, the words even of my notes being on a kite and it falling, being on the ground. Have you ever tried to fly a kite without wind? You can run, you know, you're running really fast trying to get it up in the air. And this morning when I was on the way in, I was praying and I was saying, Lord, I don't want to speak any words that don't have the wind of your Spirit on them. And so then this morning I saw that picture of this kite. And so now I'm praying. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would come and be the wind that would cause there to be impact in the words this morning, that you would blow on the words that I say, that I wouldn't say anything that doesn't have your wind on it today. I don't want to fly a kite without your wind. And so we just ask that you would come. We open our hearts to new revelation about who you are, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would show us the places that we're not accessing in you. Thank you for the gift of discovery of what you want to do and how you want to be in our midst in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we know that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. We have that reality that he is an equal part to Father God, Jesus the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. And we know that really we can't follow Jesus apart from him. We can't follow him. The only reason I can follow Jesus is because of the Holy Spirit's involvement in my life. That he is not only just the seal of salvation on our lives, but he's the one that allows us to walk out the Christian life, his activity in our lives, that the Christian life is impossible without the Holy Spirit. And the good news is that Jesus left us the Holy Spirit. Dan preached all my scriptures this morning, so it's really exciting. It saves me a little bit of time, and we can, you know, go deeper into other things. But I love that Jesus left us the Holy Spirit. And the reason that he did is because there were things that Jesus called us to be and called us to do. And he knew we could not be those things or do those things apart from the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so he left us the Holy Spirit so that we could be and do the things that he needed us to be and do on the earth after he left. So let's look at, I pulled up a little bit different scripture, John 14, verse 16. I love how he says, let's look at verse 15. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments." And then, because he knows we can't do it without the Holy Spirit, he says in the next verse, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." And this helper is called the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. And he dwells in you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. How many of us can see that the world neither sees him nor knows him in this season? But the hope is that you know him because he dwells in you. And so we have Jesus saying, okay, I'm going away. This is that preparation time that we see as Jesus is talking to his disciples. I'm going away. It's going to look a little different than you thought, but I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit, and this is why you need the Holy Spirit. He's telling them. I'm going to read the verse in John 16. This is what Dan read this morning as well. John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Let's jump down to verse 13. "However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take mine of mine and declare it to you." So this is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is to continue to disciple us in all that Jesus has. And think about how mind-blowing this would have been to the disciples. He says, okay, I'm leaving, but it's to your advantage that I go away. Really? As someone that had walked with Jesus for 3 years, the disciples walked with him, ate with him, watched him speak, that his words were words of life to them. This was the man that they knew to be the Messiah, that they had been waiting for. And secretly, even though he kept telling them that wasn't how it was going to be, they secretly still kind of hoped that he was going to lead a revolution that would bring an end to the oppression that they were under the Roman oppression. Secretly, they were still kind of hoping that was what was going to happen next. Think about even the way that he had changed their lives. John, who called himself the one that Jesus loved, who reclined on the chest of Jesus, he had an intimacy with him. Really? It's to my advantage that you go away? After I have this closeness with you? Peter, who's had the best economic year of his entire business because Jesus told him to throw his nets over the other side and did a miracle. And not only helped him in that, but called him into his true vocation, which was to be a fisher of men, called him out of where he had been into his true calling. Or Matthew, who was a tax collector who was completely despised by his own people and yet rejected and mocked by the Romans that he served, had no place of belonging until Jesus called him out and gave him a place of belonging, called him into a family, called him into a place where he belonged to be. And Jesus is saying to these men and all of them that have their own stories with him, I'm leaving. I'm not doing all the things exactly that you thought I was going to do. I'm leaving, but it's to your advantage because that's how amazing it's going to be to walk with the Holy Spirit. I don't know that we understand the impact of that. That now I'm going to send you a helper that instead of walking externally with you, this helper is going to take up residence inside of you, and it's going to be a whole nother level. You're not just walking with me and doing your best to keep in step with me and doing your best to understand what, you know, what I'm doing and asking sometimes stupid questions and whatever. No, now the Holy Spirit is going to take up residence inside of you and is going to walk that closely with you. All of that that you've enjoyed with me from a distance, you're going to have that inside of you. That's why it's to your advantage that I go. Holy Spirit, he looks just like me, he says, but he's going to come and live inside of you forever. He says he's going to abide with you forever. Again, we don't realize what a concept this would have been for them, because in their Jewish life, what they knew of the Holy Spirit was the Holy Spirit came on people for a moment, for a particular act, for you know, he anointed them for this moment to do this thing, and then his presence lifted. And now Jesus is saying, you're going to walk like that all the time with the Spirit in you and on you. That would have been mind-blowing to them. That was a whole different concept of how the Holy Spirit worked. And so we need to see it from that perspective to understand how huge that would be. That their concept was that Holy Spirit would take up residence or be on people for a moment. But he's saying, no, he's going to abide. He's going to live inside of you for eternity. We don't understand, but I'm asking God to give us a revelation of what that means. That this indwelling of the Holy Spirit was always God's plan from the very beginning. That he would walk this closely with us. And it took a turn with sin, but this was always the plan of God to get back to this place. Even throughout all of the old covenant, it was to get us to this place where now we walk in a new covenant. So we have the old covenant that we need to shift from, where it's based on the law and God dwelt externally in the Holy of Holies. And the access to him was so limited. Right? If we look at the Old Testament, he dwelt in the Holy of Holies, and access to him was limited. And only certain people, and maybe they would just die because they weren't quite making the grade, and all of those things, and only once a year. And it was so limited to now the new covenant where it says, no longer is my presence confined to one location. This temple made with hands is not the place where my presence is confined. Now I'm going to abide in the hearts and lives of sons and daughters in a place not made by hands. We have to grasp how huge that is, not just for us, but for the world around us, that the presence of God is accessible now to everyone through us. Because he's no longer limited to this one location of where he is. It's profound. And we need to remember that the veil that was torn was not torn for the sake of letting us in. It was torn for the sake of letting God out, for the sake of letting him now operate and have access through our lives. That was his plan all along, that he wanted to get out. This is one of the features and functions we have to make sure we're using in the Holy Spirit. That the presence of God is getting out and impacting and encountering people through our lives. So the Holy Spirit makes in us a holy of holies, a place where he can dwell. Our life in the Holy Spirit, every second, God dwelling with me. My prayer is that our awareness of that would be increased, that every second he's dwelling with me, that my awareness of that is increased even when I'm not being a really great wife or a really great mom or I'm not getting everything all right, that I would recognize, oh, I have the Holy Spirit in me in this moment. I don't have to just try harder. Right now Brian's like, well, you could try a little harder. No. I don't have to just try harder. I can press into accessing the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. So I think that sometimes when we consider that, when we consider the presence of God coming out of the Holy Holies and dwelling in us, we can focus on all that that means we can do. So yes, that's part of the accessing the features, that Jesus said, there's things that I want you to be, there's things that I want you to do, and you can do those things because of the work of the Holy Spirit. So we look at, because we look at where the Holy Spirit came on the scene in the book of Acts, right? So we read that, to me, that's like the Holy Spirit book. That's the book where we see, oh, this is what happens when the Holy Spirit is in people. And we see the things that they did because of that, the Acts of the Apostles, right? And so for me, oftentimes my connection to Holy Spirit is these are the things that Holy Spirit empowers us to do. And I'm excited about that. I'm going to talk more about that another time. But today I want to talk about all the things he empowers us to be. Because what is truth is that Acts, see, this helped me a lot once I learned this. I really believed that Acts, the whole book of Acts, took place in a very short period of time. So here I am looking at us, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and going, what is our problem? Look, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and look at all of these things, bum, 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 bum. People are getting saved and healed, and his shadow is cast, and people are getting healed by that, and whatever. What is our problem? Why are we not accessing the power of the Holy Spirit? And I believe there is more for us to access in that. I absolutely believe there's more for us. But what we also need to realize is the book of Acts took place over like 30-ish years. So that was life lived. There was a lot that happened right at the beginning, but it took place over 30 years. And nestled into that 30 years are all of the letters in the New Testament. All of these, all the instructions from Paul, all the things that Peter said, all of these different things. So Acts is focusing on these different events that happened, but nestled inside of Acts in that period of time is the rest of what Holy Spirit empowers us to be. The Acts of the Apostles, the things he empowers us to do, then there's the rest of it, which is here's what he empowers us to be. So that's what I want to look at today. So we know that this new covenant, this coming into a relationship with Christ, is a Spirit-led life. Because Jesus says, I'm going to go, I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. And I think that sometimes what we can think is that the concept of being Spirit-filled or Spirit-led is really limited to Pentecostal or charismatic churches. In fact, how many of you love getting the question from people, because I haven't, So what kind of church do you go to? Isn't that a fun question to try to answer? Like, here's my stock answer was, well, you know, we're spirit-filled, no, non-denominational, but not a cult. Non-denominational, spirit-filled, but we believe in the Bible. That was how I would answer that question. And I felt like the Lord began to challenge me and say, why do you differentiate yourself from other churches by saying you're spirit-filled? Why do I do that? Because the Christian life is a spirit-filled life. We cannot walk the Christian life, whether we're demonstrative in how we function in the Holy Spirit or not. Do you know we're not the only spirit-filled church in this region? Thank God. So I'm not sure yet how I'm going to answer that question, but I'm probably going to stop saying, well, we're spirit-filled. Maybe I'll say, well, we're spirit-filled like all the other churches. I don't know. I'm not sure how I'll say that. But the Christian life is a spirit-led life. And it may look a little bit different in different ways. But for us, we need to recognize that it means to be led by the Spirit. So as we're talking about things that the Spirit allows us to be or empowers us to be, it means I get to be led by the Spirit. That means I am not pushed and pressured externally in the way that I walk out my life. I am led internally. That's the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, is that I am now led internally. I'm internally motivated. We have to make the shift when we come into Christianity. We need to recognize it's not necessarily just a list of principles and a checkbox of things that we do. It is now a spirit-led life where I am led internally to be like Christ. I am following Christ. I'm not following necessarily a list of laws. Now, it's good for us to maintain Christian disciplines. Why? Because it allows us to be more spirit-led. Why should I read my Bible? Because that's what Christians do? No, because that's how I can be led by the Spirit. Why should I pray? Because I'm a Christian, so I'm supposed to? No, because that's how I'm led by the Spirit. Why should I not watch certain things? Because I'm a Christian, I can't watch it? No, because I can be more led by the Spirit when I'm not being led by something out there. And so it's an internal motivated life. We're now empowered to be led internally. And I don't have to be pushed externally. That means none of my actions, none of what I do, not even what I think, needs to be influenced externally. That doesn't mean we don't be in community. And we should be in community, and we get to have impact in one another's lives. Just want to make sure we don't make a hard line there. But even that should be spirit-led. Who do I let have influence in my life, and who don't I? Who do I come alongside in encouragement? I'm spirit-led in the things that I say. When somebody comes to me and they ask for advice, I sure hope that I'm not the only one that's sharing my opinion in that situation. I sure hope I am being led by the Spirit and how I speak into that. And that's what I would want from you when I come to you. So we get to be internally led because of this work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it means then that there actually is that's where it says we're not under the law. Now, I've seen that used in some really unique ways when people go, well, no, I can do that because I'm not under the law. Okay, are you being led by the Spirit into that? And there's times when we can kind of act like, well, I'm not under the law, so I don't have to do this, this, or this. No, you don't have to. But we need to recognize that when we switch from this covenant of law to this covenant of grace, that the standard didn't go like this. The standard actually went like this. That the standard of grace is higher in our lives. Do you know why? Because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us that is internally leading us. And that allows us to walk in a much higher standard of grace. How do we know this? Jesus said, okay, the old covenant said, don't commit adultery. Don't commit the external act of adultery. But I tell you, if you lust with your mind, that you've committed adultery. Because why? Because it's no longer about external, it's now about my internal life. And did he make it harder and then go, good luck? No. He said, now you're going to have someone inside of you that leads you in the way of goodness, that leads you in the things that Jesus would do. The same thing with murder. The old covenant says, don't kill anybody. I think I can avoid that. I think I can manage not to do that. The new covenant says, don't hate anyone. And in some, if you look at the translation of the word hate, it says to not prefer. Oh, man. That seems like a really high bar. That there would be people in my life that I wouldn't prefer, that I wouldn't put above myself, and that God would say, that's like murder. Why can he say that? Why can he call us to that higher standard? Because the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of us, empowering us to be like Christ. God himself has taken up residence in us, and we can be led internally. And this is right now, if anybody is hearing, oh, I have to try harder, I just, no. That's not what we're hearing. What we're hearing is, I need to be more filled with the Spirit. I need to access all of the features that the Holy Spirit has given me so that I can walk in this high standard of grace. Walking in it, this is what's so cool about it. He's given me a higher standard to walk in and made it easier. And we get to walk that way because we get to represent who Jesus is on the earth. I love what Hebrews 10:16 says. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. What days? The days that Jesus comes. I'll make this covenant and I will put my law into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. So no longer is the law an external thing. No longer are the ways of God an external thing that I got to constantly check and go, I fell there. No, I'm not mad. No, now it's internal. It's written on my heart. And I'm led by the Spirit into the ways and the character and the nature of who God is. This is what the Holy Spirit is. That's his role in our lives, one of his roles in our lives. It's so important that we know how to be internally driven right now. We cannot be externally driven. Not even externally driven by the darkness that we see. Do you understand? We can't be externally driven in the actions that we take by the darkness that we see. We have to be led by the Spirit in that. We have to be led to respond by the Spirit. That he would lead us. I love the Message version, which I'll echo as it relates to the Passion. Some things, I don't love the way it gets translated, but some things I appreciate the way it opens up the picture, you know, in the way that it paraphrases it. The Message version says, Jesus says, I'm going to send you a friend, and he will take you by the hand and lead you into all truth. That's where I want to be led. Have you ever tried to lead a toddler that doesn't want to go? And it's kind of like, it's like they drop to the ground and their feet are, you know. Like, let's not be that right now. Let's be led by the Spirit. I know that as I mature, I'm led better. And there's a couple pieces of that. part of it is I develop relationship with the Holy Spirit where I'm coming to trust him more. My husband will say, I know I can trust Holy Spirit. He's never let me down, something like that. And so there are things that he does because he's developed this trust in relationship with Holy Spirit where he's stepped out into some bold things or whatever where I'm going, okay, good luck with that, babe. Hope that's okay. But the Holy Spirit has met him in that and has showed up in that. So as we develop in our relationship with Holy Spirit, so what I would encourage you in is even small things that you feel like Holy Spirit's leading you in, don't despise that. That's developing trust. That's developing trust. Like even, you know, go introduce yourself to that person. Well, then what? Doesn't matter. Just go do that. And it turns out not so bad. And you go, okay, I can listen to Holy Spirit. I can be led. I'm having a memory of my dad used to play this game with, I think it was Josiah, not John. My brother John and my son Josiah. Sometimes I get confused. I know that sounds bad, but and he had him like this behind him, and he was having him follow him, and he was leading him. And at one point, we were outside, and there was these pillars. Was it John? Okay, it was longer ago than I thought. And John was following my dad as he was leading him, and all of a sudden, John stopped, and he says, "You're just trying to walk me into a pole." And that was exactly what he was doing. But the reality is the Holy Spirit's not trying to walk you into a pole. We can trust him. That has absolutely no spiritual meaning at all, except that I just outed my dad for being playful. But anyway, Holy Spirit will not walk you into a pole. In fact, what Jesus promised is that he will lead you into all truth. I need to be led into all truth right now. In every area of my life. And so the Holy Spirit's indwelling in us does that. And the other reason that this is important is because it also informs how I'm going to interact with people in my life. What I know is true is that we are meant to be led, not pushed. So I'm not interested in pushing you anywhere. I'm not interested in trying to push people into certain things. That's just not the culture that we have here. But what I am interested in is providing an environment where you can encounter Holy Spirit so that you know how to be led by Holy Spirit. I'm interested in walking out my own life of being led by Holy Spirit the best that I know how. None of us want to be pushed. And we're not made to be pushed because we're meant to walk in internal life. And so in this season, I'm praying that our ability to be led by the Spirit increases, that we mature into next level being led. I also love that that means that Jesus never tells us to go anywhere that he's not going to go with us, right? That it's not like, hey, follow me, it's over there. Do you know the difference for me between good customer service and not good customer service? You know, when you go to the store and you say, hey, I'm looking for this and such, and a person goes, oh, I think it's like three aisles, like maybe 24 in the, maybe back there on the right, versus the person that goes, here, I'll take you. And they walk with you to this place. The other day at Menards, I was looking for some things, and this gentleman there, we were all over the store, and he never left me. We'd go somewhere and he'd go, I would have, okay, but you need it like, okay, let's try over here in roofing. And he walked everywhere in the store. And I thought, this is like the Holy Spirit. He's not leaving me. He's guiding me to all the places. He's leading me. He's not, it's not just like, well, good luck. Hope you find it over there. This is the Holy Spirit. We're meant to be led. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In the NIV, I like the way it says it. It says, let us keep step with the Spirit. I want to keep step with the Spirit in this time. That I would continue to be led and that I would keep step with Him. Romans 8:14, I'm giving the projector lady fits back there. Romans 8:14, thanks, Lindsay. It says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The mark on my life of being a son and a daughter, the evidence of that is that I am led by the Spirit of God. Remember when Jesus said, I won't leave you orphans, I'm going to leave you the Spirit, because sons and daughters are led. So, the Holy Spirit empowers us to be led. The second point on my message is that He empowers us to be transformed. This is going to be a really fast one. He empowers us to be transformed. The John G. Lake, can you tell I'm cleaning out all my books right now? I'm supposed to be sorting them and getting rid of some as we're packing, and I'm really just reading them, so it's not going very fast. But John G. Lake said, men have mystified and philosophized the gospel, but it is as simple as it can be. The secret of Christianity is in being. It is in being a possessor of the nature of Christ. And this is a huge part of the work of the Holy Spirit. I have a passion in me for us to be formed into the image of Christ. This is something that and now I'm wondering if it's been unnecessary. But I pray into and I weep over that the body of Christ, that I first, and that the body of Christ would be formed into the very nature of Jesus. Because it is obvious that people need to see that and need the outworking of that. And right now I'm going, wow, maybe that's a lot of wasted tears, since it is the work of the Holy Spirit that does that. But I think it delights Him that I desire it and that I want Him to come and that I continually come to Him and say, oh, that Christ would be formed in me, that I would understand what it is to be a possessor of the nature of Christ. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It doesn't come in trying harder. I know, weird. And really, as believers, as Christians, our question should not so much be, what are you doing as it relates to how we address one another, but what are you becoming? It's interesting because oftentimes our testimonies have to do with the things we're doing, right? Like, oh, I did this and I did that and God did that. And we're always giving glory to God in that. But sometimes the testimony is, I was patient today when I'm not normally patient. By the way, I wasn't patient today. It was not a good exit from our house today. But I'll fix it with my daughter. But how do I know that the Holy Spirit is at work in me? Tomorrow, I will be more patient. That's how we know that we're being transformed. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring that transformation in us. So I'm going to close with this. I'm skipping two pages of notes. I'm going to close with this, which I think you also read, maybe. Romans 12:2, Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The work of that transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I think that sometimes we can think that the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives is that we're praying for the sick and we're prophesying. That is absolutely the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But the Word tells us really clearly what other evidence there is of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law. Why? Because they're internally motivated. They're the outworking of the Holy Spirit in us. And so, as we close, can we just give the Holy Spirit permission to fully do His work in leading us and transforming us in this season? Can we submit to being led and being transformed in this time? So, Holy Spirit, we thank you. Well, first, Jesus, I thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit. We come into agreement with you that it is better that you're not back yet, and that we're here filled with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the work that you're doing, that you are patiently teaching us to be led in this season. We thank you that you are leading us into all truth. We thank you that we can become internally motivated in this time. We don't have to be externally motivated. We can be internally motivated by the very Spirit of God inside of us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you do the hard work of transformation in our lives, and we submit to that. We thank you that you're making us more loving. You're bringing us more peace. You're making us more joyful and more gentle and more self-controlled. And we just submit to the work of the Holy Spirit in that. We want to access all of the features. We embrace the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We give you permission to transform us in those places that don't yet reflect Christ, so that Christ could be fully formed in us. And we delight in the discovery of what it is to be led. Come and do the work that you were sent to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.